This is a Mother Speak podcast in affiliation with Raising Sand Radio. Yesterday, 10 Jews chained themselves together to block the driveway and entrance of the Israeli consulate. Today, we're going to hear from Hannah Howard, who was at that event, who was a participant at that event, and she will talk about that event. On a similar note, Haaretz newspaper in Israel on January 15th published a story about a group of rabbis and other religious leaders buying advertising space in the New York Times to call for the U.S. President-elect Barack Obama to push for an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. This was led by Rabbi Michael Lerner, editor of Tikkun magazine, who said that the group had to buy the advertising space because the national newspapers would not make room for their perspective. So you can learn more about that at Haaretz newspaper. Welcome, Hannah Howard. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
And I would like you to talk a little bit about the action that you did in front of the Israeli consulate yesterday.
Sure. So yesterday in Los Angeles, a group of about 50 Jews and allies, many of whom are members of a network called the International Jewish Anti-Zionist Network, basically shut down operations at the Israeli consulate. And the way we did that is we had about 10 members who chained themselves together in the driveway and blocked the driveway. And then we had a couple of other members who blocked a walkway and locked themselves into that walkway. We shut down operations for about 3 hours. We had about 40 to 50, there were 40 to 50 of us who were there just as supporters, and we're just supporting the folks who are actually participating in the action. We did it because we wanted to send a message as Jewish people that Jews do not stand united on Israel, and as Jewish people, we cannot allow violence to be done in our name without and be silent about it. We wanted to send a clear message that Jews, that U.S. Jews demand an end to the siege in Gaza, and we wanted to send a message that U.S. Jews stand against the history of Israeli apartheid in Palestine.
And how was that received in Los Angeles?
We actually got a fair amount of press. There was a number of television and radio stations that covered the event. Most of the coverage, I don't know in terms of the general population reaction, because we haven't really gotten much direct feedback from just people who we didn't know who just saw the action on TV or whatnot. But most of the coverage was, I would say it was relatively neutral. It was most of the coverage was fairly brief, but it usually included a statement by one of our members and possibly a statement from the Israeli consulate. We were really surprised with how positive a lot of the coverage was. One of the things that made the coverage, I think, positive and neutral is because it was Jewish people who were speaking out, which is both positive and negative in its implications. I think it's great that the media was receptive to our message, but at the same time, I think it's really too bad that the voice of Jews are given a sort of special status where a Jewish person's opinion on the state of Israel is sort of seen to be very authentic versus the opinion of a Palestinian person who may have a much closer connection to the suffering that's going on in Gaza and the West Bank is so frequently questioned and not trusted.
And why do you think that is, Hannah?
There's a lot of reasons for that, but I think that the reality is the overall state of the media in the U.S. is very favorable to Jewish opinion. I mean, there are a lot of reasons for it, but I think that you can look at how the situation in Israel is portrayed in the U.S. and also looking at the strategic interests of the United States as a country and how that plays out in Israel. So that Israel as a nation is closely tied U.S. sort of international strategic interests, and as a result, the way it's portrayed in the media is negative towards the Palestinians. If the Palestinians were to achieve self-determination, to have a nation of their own, that would significantly change the international balance of powers. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
And at the same time, yesterday, there was on the opposite side of the country in New York a very strident demonstration that was pro-Israel and pro the bombing. I'm not sure if you saw that coverage, but there were some statements that were made that were fairly shocking, wipe the Palestinians off the face of the map and
Mm-hmm.
It was quite shocking, given the history of Jewish people in the world with a multicultural background. And what do you say to that?
It shows in many ways is how far Jewish people have strayed from the Jewish traditions of social justice and standing with those who are not in power and those who are oppressed. I think, you know, we actually had some counter-protesters show up at our event. They were definitely pretty strident, very, I would say, aggressive in voicing their opinion to us. And definitely, they definitely said, "You're not Jewish" to us. And they said...
They were Jewish?
You know, supportive of Israel. And showed up. I think they were with a group called Stand With Us, which basically what they do is show up at protests of Israel and try to counter-protest. So, you know, they shouted all kinds of things. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting, I mean, on a personal note, is from myself, is they actually, I'm a transgender woman, and one of them shouted a slur at me that had nothing to do with Israel, but just with my being transgender. And I think, you know, to some extent that shows where their sentiments are coming from. They're kind of coming from, I mean, I experience that as coming from a place of hatred. So that's not to deny the very intense pain of many of the Jewish people, both around the Holocaust and both. I think that Israel has been a painful experience for Jews, regardless of where they stand. What I think is sad is that I think Jews are really acting out of that pain and really not taking a chance to look at some of the hurt that underlies that kind of behavior and those kinds of actions.
I mean, how do you begin to surface that conversation, though? Because it's hard to talk about painful things in public, isn't it?
Not in the middle of a protest. It's very difficult to have that. You know, and you know, when someone shows up to counter protest, they're not there to have a dialogue. They're there to sort of do their best to disrupt, you know, the action.
Shut down conversation.
Yeah, definitely. And it was definitely for me an eye opener in terms of seeing how intensely the pro-Israel folks were willing to go to kind of create a conflict. I personally, you know, have developed a decent understanding of the history of the Israel-Palestine conflict, and I feel like my opinions are well informed about it. But I don't know that I've really considered what it's going to be like in the long term, because I'm new to the work of an anti-Zionist Jew. What it's going to be like in the long term in terms of confronting so many Jews who feel so strongly. One person said to me that Israel is all we have, you know, and it's sort of, you know, what do you say to that? You
right,
know, and, you know, how do you say, well, not only is it not in our own self-interest, but regardless of that, that the suffering of the Palestinian people is orders of magnitude above, you know, the suffering of people in Israel. And I think that Jews need to, I mean, as hard as it is to put things in numbers, Jews need to start recognizing the disproportionate in which the Israeli government acts in punishing the Palestinian people.
Yeah, the thing that I've heard multiple times in the last few weeks since the Gaza bombardment has been going on is that the Israeli Defense Force is acting like Gaza is their concentration camp. It's hard for me to even say this because I know how volatile this thing is, but I think the Pope himself said that just recently, didn't he?
I've definitely, the metaphor I've heard compared to is the Warsaw Ghetto in Poland. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what is the exact appropriate metaphor, but it's interesting when you look at the Israeli strategy in Gaza and their supposed unilateral pullout out of the Gaza region, and, you know, was sort of hailed as this major gesture of Israel, you know, pulling out and giving the Palestinians what they want. But if you look at the broader strategy, and if you look what's happened, I think that all that happened is Gaza went from an occupation to basically a jailing, locking people within a region and cutting off all the basic resources that they need to live on. So that, you know, I think that Israel went from being an occupier to a jailer. And I think that when you look at how folks understand Israel-Palestine relations in the U.S., what they understand is the surface gestures, and they don't understand what the ultimate facts on the ground are in terms of how things really play out. I think that, you know, that happened with the Oslo Agreement, where people saw Israel as giving given the Palestinians a nation. But then if you look at the entire period of the Oslo Agreement, Israel was actually increasing their settlements in Palestine and taking away things from the Palestinians. Mm-hmm.
Hanna, do you think that only Jews have the moral standing to speak to this issue? What do you say to that, that only Jews can understand how Jews feel?
I don't think that Jews are the only ones who have a moral standing to speak about this issue. I mean, I think that, if anything, the people who have the most moral standing to speak about it are the people who are directly affected by the actions of the Israeli government, which would be the Palestinians.
They've been pretty much shut out of the conversation, haven't they?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that strategically, you know, when you look at places like the U.S., they're... Palestinian voices are so marginalized that mm-hmm. it may be that really Jewish people speaking out is the only way to move the conversation forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one of the biggest myths that exists in terms of public conception about Israel, particularly in the U.S., is to be Jewish is to be Zionist. And I heard a lot in the media, like during the presidential elections, about Obama and Clinton, and I don't think McCain ever did, but, you know, went to AIPAC to outreach to Jews. And it's like, well, if you go to AIPAC, you're outreaching to Zionists, not mm-hmm. necessarily Jews.
Good point, yeah.
And, you know, there's certainly a huge... And so I think that in dispelling that idea, I think Jews can be very effective and maybe the only ones who can really break down that conception. But I think that ultimately, if only Jewish voices are seen as having moral standing, and if that doesn't change within the discourse in the U.S. in particular, that I don't know that the situation's ever going to change. Because I think that at some point, you know, in order for, you know, major strategic policy to change, the people of the U.S. and the people of Israel need to start valuing Palestinian voices more. That probably goes for a number of Western countries, though the U.S. is definitely unique in its notion of privileging of Jewish voices.
And I mean, it is intimidating, especially if you're Jewish and you're called a self-hating Jew. Where do you go with that?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think that the only thing that I personally, in doing this work, have not developed, a response to that kind of accusation that I feel really confident about, other than to say that I am a proud Jew. I place a lot of value in my being Jewish, and whether you find that value in Jewish culture or Jewish religion or Jewish tradition, traditions of being involved in social justice, I personally derive a lot of sense of worth in my being Jewish. You know, when somebody says you're a self-hating Jew, it's certainly an accusation that it's hard to hear, but I think that the reality is you just have to go back to your own, you know, confidence in your being Jewish. And I think that, you know, it's interesting, in getting involved in Israel-Palestine work, I have personally really taken a lot of time to explore what being Jewish means to me in a way that I hadn't before. You know, it's difficult because you get that accusation a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you, especially if you identify as an anti-Zionist. You know, it's kind of one of those arguments there's nothing you can really say to, because other than to say it's just not true, you know?
Right. So, Hanna Howard, tell our listeners where they can find out more information about the group that you're with, and also what you're going to be doing next, if there's
Absolutely.
Anything.
Absolutely. In nationally and internationally, you can definitely learn more about the International Jewish Anti-Zionist Network at www.ijsn.net. That's ijsn.net. And you can find out information both about things that are happening in Los Angeles, in the Bay Area, and nationally and even internationally. It is a network that's international. We have representation in, I think, at least about 10 countries right now, including within the territories of Israel-Palestine. And so that's definitely how you can find out information about our particular group. In Los Angeles, we have an IJN chapter, and which will be becoming more active. And I would say we don't have a specific email you could use, but you could certainly use my email, which would be hannah@hannahhoward.net, and I'd be happy to get you in touch with folks. Or you can definitely get contacts on the IJAN website. There is definitely a very active IJAN Bay Area chapter. They're actually our biggest chapter and are very connected to both the national work and the international work that's being done. Yeah, and those are all great ways to get plugged in.
And you're going to continue doing this kind of work as much as you can to keep raising your voices.
Absolutely, absolutely. The actions that happened yesterday were part of an international call to action. It's actually a call for joint action among Jews and Palestinians. There will be more things happening around the country in the next few days. You definitely want to get plugged into us personally to be most up to date on actions, because certainly if we're doing stuff like we did yesterday, it may actually not be posted beforehand on our website.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you have been with us, Hannah. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Learn more about MotherSpeak at motherspeak.org and Raising Sand Radio at raisingsandradio.org.